Hello, I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, and I wanted to thank you for getting this book on tape, An Introduction to Hypnosis. I am a graduate of the University of Florida, a member of the American Board of Hypnotherapy, and the National Guild of Hypnotists. I've got over 17 years' experience hypnotizing people, and I currently have a practice in Beverly Hills, California. To get things started, I want to talk a little bit about what hypnosis is and isn't. There are a number of misconceptions about hypnosis. First of all, it's not a sort of Zen trance where you're in some sort of metaphysical state. It can be for some people, but usually that's not the norm. What we're looking for in hypnosis is to get the subject, the client, the patient, whichever term you prefer, into a very light trance. That's all that is really required. Anything beyond that is nice, but not necessary. Where we are right now, where I hope you are right now, in normal awakening consciousness, we are in what's called beta. Now, in beta, your brain is fully functioning. It's intact, it's paying attention, it's processing stimuli from the outside world, and so forth and so on. Now, when you slow down just a little bit, you go down to alpha. Now, in alpha, you're more focused, you're more narrowed, you're slowed down. So any attention which you pay to something will be fully focused on that one thing, because you don't have all the distractions of outside stimuli. You just basically have what's in your mind. And if you're slowed down and listening to a hypnotherapist or a hypnotist, either term, then you are able to receive those messages more easily. Now, you are up to 200 times more suggestible when you're just in alpha. Now, as I said, alpha is just a little bit slowed down. Alpha is just like the state you're in when you're watching TV, or when you're on your computer, or when you've been driving your car for a while. Kind of that zoned out, spaced out, not really here, not really out of it type phase. There are many terms which can be applied to it, but basically you're just slow down a little bit, and you're very focused. When you're driving, your attention is basically, hopefully, on driving. Outside stimuli play a lesser role. I mean, you're aware of things that are going on around you, other cars and so forth, but after a prolonged drive, you become pretty focused on just what's going on in front of you. You can still react. You can still react to things which happen to you, but you're pretty much just focused on getting to where you're going and looking straight ahead. Now, the fact that you can react while you're driving is an excellent analogy for hypnosis, because under hypnosis, you can react also. People think that, again, along the lines of misconceptions, people think that if they're under hypnosis, they can't react to something, that the hypnotist or hypnotherapist will have ultimate control over them and be able to make them do anything he or she chooses. That's not true, because just like when you're driving, you're very aware of, or you can be very aware of what's going on around you at any time. You can decide, but just like when you're driving, you choose to be focused. You choose. You are in the driver's seat. You are making the decisions. Do some people go deeper than that? Yes. Are some people so deep that they don't remember anything from the session? Yes. That does happen. There are people who go down lower to lower states, which we call delta and theta. Theta being a low state, delta being a very, very low state. Now these, for those of you who understand Greek letters, these don't follow in alphabetical order. The order is beta, normal awakening consciousness, alpha, a little lower than that, theta, a little lower than that, and delta. Now, delta is a very, very deep state. Delta is the state you would put someone in if you're going to operate. There was a thyroidectomy done in the 50s, which was noted by the American Medical Association, and the only anesthesia, the only painkiller used was hypnosis. That person was in Delta, a very, very deep state. Now, thyroidectomy, what that means is they come in and they remove the thyroid, which is in the throat. That's an extremely painful procedure if you have no painkiller. Hypnosis was the only painkiller used. That person was put down into Delta. That is beyond the scope of this particular book, but it is a definite state which can be reached and will be reached by certain people. And you really can't control that. You can't control how deeply someone will go under hypnosis. There are tests which can be used to ascertain how deeply someone has gone under hypnosis, but again, that is beyond the scope of this book. I wanted you to be aware of that, but if you want to look into that, that would be something you would need to study further. It's not a requirement for putting someone under hypnosis. Ascertaining how deep they are is not a requirement for putting someone under hypnosis. Some therapists will do tests to determine how deep someone is, depending on what they want to do with that person, but that is not required in order to obtain a state of hypnosis. Some people will go into alpha, some people will go into theta, some people will go into delta. Most people will vary between the states, and from time to time come completely out of hypnosis during hypnosis. Most people have the experience of remembering some things the hypnotist says and having no idea what other things were, or coming out of hypnosis thinking they remembered everything, but actually remembering very little. And what I do with my patients is I tape the session, which usually consists of just me talking. If you have any of my hypnosis CDs, you're familiar with my techniques, which I will get into later on, but I talk the whole time, and there's no interaction. Certain things require interaction, but most of the hypnosis I do does not require interaction. It's just me talking. And I'll give them a tape of that to take home after they're done, and they can listen to it. And sometimes they decide to play that very same tape during the daytime when they can stay awake, or they fast forward past the part that drops them into hypnosis, which we'll get into later. And they listen to just the body of it, and they're always surprised. I didn't know all that stuff was on there. That's because even those people who think they're aware of everything during hypnosis usually have times during the session when they are completely under, when they're very deep, when they're in theta or delta. So, what is hypnosis? What is hypnosis? Well, in a sentence, hypnosis is changing people's beliefs. Hypnosis is just one of many ways to change people's beliefs. Now, in my practice, I use several things. I use several tools, hypnosis being the primary tool. But there are a number of tools you can avail yourself to. There are all kinds of therapies out there. I use things which get immediate results. So that's what I'm after. I'm after helping the person in as short a time as possible in order to save them money and to make myself look good. I don't want to waste a lot of time with the patient, because if they're not getting the results they need, they're not going to tell any friends, and they're not going to be happy, and we've got a problem. So I like to get right to it, and hypnosis is an excellent way to get right to it. If you want to spend years in a therapist chair, then by all means, do that. But hypnosis would be pretty much the opposite of that. Hypnosis is going to get those results quickly. Now, I am in no way speaking against the use of therapy, because for some people, traditional therapy works wonders. And some people honestly want a year or more to get to know themselves through the use of a therapist, and that's fine. I don't have anything against that. But when it comes to me and what I want something that works quickly and efficiently and is reliable. And if that's what you want, then hypnosis is for you. Now, this book on tape is it's a modern day. This book on CD is designed for everyone, whether you're an individual who wants to just make tapes for yourself, or you just want to hypnotize some friends, that's fine. Or if you're a practitioner, if you're already a hypnotherapist, already practicing, and just want to kind of go over some of the basics and make sure you have them down, that's fine. This is useful for that too. Or if you're thinking of going into practice, this would be an excellent first step. And I welcome you to the profession. And if I can be of any help whatsoever, please feel free to email me. I'd love to hear from you. If you're just starting it and you're getting in the swing of things and I've helped you in any way, or if you have any questions, please let me know and I'd be more than happy to hear from you and to help you in any way possible. Okay, back to the information. What you want to do before the person is hypnotized is make sure they've gone to the restroom. Seems like a little point. Trust me. Make sure they've gone to the restroom. Also, just like at the movies, make sure that all cell phones and pagers and your telephone are turned off. And make sure that you're in a safe environment where no one and nothing is going to disturb you. No barking dogs. None of that. You must control the environment. I, as a practitioner, will not go to someone's residence to hypnotize them because I can't control the environment. They may have Aunt Sally come over at 3 o'clock, and I didn't know she was coming over, and they forgot she was coming over, and the doorbell rings, and suddenly they're out of hypnosis. So make sure they go to the bathroom. Simple point, but very important. You do not want the person halfway through the session to raise their hand and say, "I gotta go." That will ruin everything, and you'll feel terrible. Okay, so make sure they're properly prepared. Make sure the environment is properly prepared. Make sure they are not going to get too cold also. They should be reclined. Some people like to have the client, subject, patient, whatever term you prefer, in a chair sitting upright. And that's reasonably popular some places. I prefer that they be reclined. And it doesn't matter. I mean, if you're at home, it can be in a bed. It doesn't really matter as long as they're comfortable. It could be the floor with some pillows. Now, as a professional, I have people come to the office, and I have them sit in a lazy boy chair. And it reclines to an almost horizontal position. And then I put a little beanbag over their eyes to block out any light. And I have them listen to me through headphones. What have I done? I have completely controlled the environment. They're not going to see anything because their eyes are covered, so they're not going to be distracted even if they open their eyes. They're not going to see anything. They're not going to hear anything except my voice, and I usually play some gentle ocean waves. If you've got any of my hypnosis CDs, you know that I like to do that, play some soft music and some gentle waves in the background. And they're also going to be covered with one or two blankets, depending on the temperature, just so that they will not get too cold. Because if you're squirming trying to keep warm during hypnosis, it's just no fun. And contrary to people's beliefs that you're totally knocked out during hypnosis and couldn't move anyway, it's just not true. If you're uncomfortable, you're going to squirm, you're not going to have a good experience. So get them comfy-wumpy. Get those shoes off. Get them reclined. Cover them with blankets if you need it. If you're in Arizona and it's the summertime, of course, you don't need any blankets. But you be the judge and make sure that you have taken care of everything. Control the environment. If you don't have them wearing headphones, make sure nothing's going to ring, no one's coming over, etc. You do not want any unforeseen occurrence, which you can control, happening. That's your job as the hypnotist to make sure that's taken care of. And if you're using this to make tapes for yourself, which a lot of people do, then you want to listen to that tape, which you make for yourself, in that sort of an environment where everything is controlled and no one's going to come over and disturb you and the phone's not going to ring. I had a patient one time who wanted to be hypnotized, but she was a doctor and she was on call. And our first session was just chaotic because she got up a few times during the actual hypnosis. And I had to explain, me hypnotist, you patient, you are not on call when you are in this room. You sit in the chair, you turn off everything. I don't care if you're on call and come back another day. Do not get up. Do not allow yourself to be disturbed. When you come here, I want you focused. You must have their complete attention. You must have them relaxed. You must have them in an oasis from their outside world. This is a break from their life. This is not something they do like ordering coffee while they're on their cell phone. I'm in Los Angeles, so there are a lot of people who like to multitask and do everything at once, drive while they're on the cell phone and order coffee on the cell phone and go to the theater and get on the cell phone and get on the computer and on the cell phone and get on the computer and, you know, phone call. And they like to multitask. And hypnosis is not about that. This is slowing down time. This is relaxation time. Nothing and no one will disturb this session. So make sure that you have them appreciate how special the session is. Nothing can disturb it. That's a very important point. And the first time it happens to you, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So keep in mind, this is serious stuff. It's fun and it's exciting, but it's real stuff. You're inside someone's head. You've gotten permission to get in there and help them. So you, just like a surgery, if it were interrupted by a phone call or by someone knocking on the door and everyone stopped operating and the patient sat up, that would not be acceptable. Same as this. That's just not acceptable. Everything needs to be controlled. And that's your job, to control the environment. Enough said. Okay, so let's take a little look at what you're going to be doing in this book on tape, since this does require participation on your part. That's right, you have to do something. Chapter 1, Inductions, that's coming up next. So when you're ready to listen and ready to work, go ahead and go to the next track. Chapter 1, Inductions. Chapter 2, Deepenings. Chapter 3, Scripts. Chapter 4, Amnesia. Ooh, find out what that is when you get there. Chapter 5, Transtermination. And Chapter 6, we'll have an overview at the end. So if you want to skip around at any time after you've listened to everything in order, you can do that if you need to go back and review something. But I strongly encourage you to listen to everything in order and do the assignments which I will give you, because I can craft you into a hypnotherapist if you just listen to what I say and act upon it. So get ready to have some fun, and get ready to finally learn what is hypnosis, and how does it work, and how can I use it for myself and others. All right, have fun. Chapter 1, Inductions. Now, an induction is the tool which hypnotherapists use to get someone into hypnosis. It's where everything starts. Now, inductions come in all shapes and sizes. There are all kinds of inductions. And this book is designed to be an introduction to hypnosis. So I will not be elaborating on all the various forms of inductions. Just be aware that there are many of them. What I want to focus on to keep things very simple and to get you up and running with hypnosis as soon as possible is just the basic induction, which would be what we could call a relaxation induction. Now, with a relaxation induction, all you're really trying to accomplish is, in layman's terms, boring the person to sleep, although they won't be in sleep, they'll be in hypnosis. But imagine talking to someone and trying to bore them. Some people do that naturally. They have no problem with that. Some people will start talking, and before you know it, their listener has either left or has a glazed over look, glazed over eyes. Those people would be excellent hypnotherapists. If you're one of those people, congratulations, because although you've been boring people all your life, now you can actually help people with that. What you're going for is just a monotone voice, and I'm going to kind of segue into my hypnotherapist voice now, because when I'm doing hypnotherapy with someone, I want to talk in a very, very monotone way, and I tend to drag words out, especially words like and, as in, and now you're going deeper and deeper, relaxing more and more. You see the difference between that and my conversational voice? It's very slow and methodical, and I am enunciating clearly. You must be very careful with the subconscious mind that you say what you mean and mean what you say, because the subconscious mind will take things very literally. You must say precisely what you mean. So when you plan your induction and later on your script, which we'll get into, and basically anytime you're working with someone, saying anything to them under hypnosis, speak very clearly. Make sure they can understand every word. Act as though they are a foreigner and do not speak your language properly. And you need to speak slowly and clearly so that there is no misunderstanding. Because if you pronounce a word incorrectly, the subconscious mind may process it as another word. So practice that. It doesn't take long. In fact, practice with me now. Just kind of say along with me the following sentence. Jack and Jill went up the hill. You ready? Okay, this may sound silly, but practice with me. Ready? Here we go. Jack and Jill went up the hill. Okay? All right. Now let's even make that more monotone, because we had some fluctuation in the voice and some ups and downs. Let's even smooth that out more. Ready? Same sentence. Jack and Jill went up the hill. Ready? Here we go. Jack and Jill went up the hill. That's right. Don't you see now how relaxing, i.e. boring, that is? Boring is good in hypnosis. It's the only time in your whole life when boring is good. Have you ever been in a classroom with the teacher talking incessantly, on and on? And if you're unfortunate, you get a teacher who has a very monotone, boring voice because they've taught the same subject for years, and they have no passion left in their entire being, and they just kind of let the words come out as if they were a robot. Well, that may have actually done you some good, because although you couldn't consciously pay attention, maybe some of those things went in hypnotically, because I guarantee they were lulling you into some sort of a trance, even if it was just a light one. Hey, just watching TV will lull you into a trance. Driving a car will lull you into a trance. a slow, monotone speaking teacher speaking for 45 minutes will definitely put you into a trance. Okay, so let's talk about some of the things that you can use, some of the tricks of the trade, if you will. Well, what I like to do, and most hypnotherapists would agree with this, is I like to use the five senses. Most people relate strongly to one of the senses: sight, touch, hearing, smell, or the somewhat less used, taste. Now, taste, I can take or leave that, but I like to involve as many of the five senses as would be appropriate. What you want to do is try to find a way where you're relating to the person. And by blanketing all the senses, you can get to the one which they actually relate to. Now, you don't know what it is unless you perform a pretest on them, which, again, is beyond the scope of this book. But you can perform a pretest on them and determine, are they tactile? Do they like to relate to things by touching things? Are they kinetic, which is a whole other type of situation where they relate to movement and so forth. But by combining the senses and throwing in some movement, you can pretty much blanket everything. So something's going to appeal to them. Now, again, taste, I could take it or leave it. You don't have to throw in something relating to that necessarily. But you do want to make sure you have something for them to see, something for them to feel, something for them to hear, and something for them to smell. And let me explain that in an induction. Let me take you through an induction and show you exactly what I mean. Now listen to this induction, and I'm going to read it as if I were trying to hypnotize you, so try not to get lulled into a trance. But this is going to pretty much give you an example of what I'm talking about when I talk about using all of the senses in an induction. Now, an induction is designed to be the first step in lulling someone into a trance. It engages them. It slows them down. If you play some soft music in the background, it helps to trying to just get them to slow down. So let me give you an example of an induction. And feel free to use this if you'd like. Feel free to use any of the examples that I've got on here. Okay, so get yourself relaxed, and here we go. Do not listen to this portion in a vehicle. Here we go. All right, now, I want you to take a deep breath in through your nose, inhaling very slowly, filling your lungs and stretching them out. That's right. Hold it. Open your mouth slightly and exhale very slowly. And as you do, just feel your body relaxing, relaxing, relaxing. Good. Now, in order to help you to relax, I want you to visualize yourself on a beautiful island. It is your island. You are alone and safe, and no one and nothing can harm you. No one and nothing can disturb you. You find yourself walking along the beach. Feel the warm, soft sand on the soles of your feet. The warmth of the sun relaxing every muscle, every fiber of your being. Inhale the fragrant, salty sea air. Feel the soft, gentle breeze on your body as you walk slowly down to the water's edge, where the waves are gently breaking on the shore. Okay, now let's snap out of it. Let's take a look at that. Let's kind of break that down. First of all, Having someone breathe in and out slowly is going to relax them. A lot of people who smoke or are addicted to cigarettes, they're simply addicted to the idea of taking deep breaths and relaxing. I mean, when they say they get some sort of relaxation from cigarettes, usually that's what's happening. They're taking the time to take a deep breath. Deep breath in and hold it and blow it out. That's what you do when you smoke, right? You take time. You take a smoker's break. You go outside. You stop working. Everything shuts down. You, as far as you're concerned, and you're outside, and maybe there's some smokers there, and you're all taking these deep yogic-type breaths and blowing them out. Unfortunately, you're inhaling 4,000 chemicals while you're doing it. Yes, cigarettes contain 4,000 chemicals, and you're blowing them out again, but you are taking those deep breaths. Deep breaths are very relaxing. When I work with smokers to help them stop, I teach them this, that really one of the things you're addicted to is relaxation, which is not that bad. You just need to find a healthy way to do it and stop killing yourself. But deep breaths, in and out, maybe up to three of them guided by you, in and out. Just relax the person. Get them slowed down. And then let's take a look at what else we did. I want you to visualize yourself on a beautiful island. Let's kind of clear. I'm using sight. I'm incorporating their sense of sight into the script, into the induction, to be technically correct, because we'll get into scripts later. Sometimes scripts are called inductions and vice versa, but this is the induction. The next thing we looked at, next thing I said, was you find yourself walking along the beach. Now, that's got the kinetic aspect, the movement aspect. So I've engaged their feelings of motion. Some people relate strongly to that. Some people only relate to that. Some people only learn by relating it to motion. I've got them covered. I've got them. I've got the people who relate to motion. I've got the kinetic learners. I've got the people who will only pay attention to me when I'm talking about motion and relating to motion. What's next? Feel the warm, soft sand on the soles of your feet. So you're feeling something now. I've got tactile senses. I've got the sense of touch. You're feeling the warm, soft sand on the soles of your feet. I didn't just say you're feeling the sand. I described the sand. I made it real. I brought them there. You're feeling it as warm. It's soft. You may even say it's white sand so they can really picture it. Now you've got the visual sense involved again. Just make it as real as possible on the soles of your feet. I didn't just say you're feeling it or you're seeing it. You're feeling it on the soles of your feet. And I grew up in South Florida. I can strongly relate to that. I've been on the beach many times, and that sand is warm, if not hot. That brings back a clear memory for me. And most people have walked on a beach during the daytime in their bare feet. So you want to use something that's familiar to people. By the way, if people are afraid of water or afraid of beaches for whatever reason, I know I was when I saw the movie Jaws, but if they're afraid of beaches or anything which you may use, then use something else. You need to kind of ask them ahead of time, hey, are you okay with beaches? Do you like the beach? It's as simple as that. Do you like the beach? Sure. Most people love it. Okay, what's next? The warmth of the sun relaxing every muscle, every fiber of your being. Again, the scent, the feeling sense. You can feel the warmth of the sun. And I've now related that. I've linked it to relaxing. Relaxing every muscle, every fiber of your being. Inhale the fragrant, salty sea air. Olfactory senses. I've got the sense of smell. You can smell it. You're there. It's salty. It's sea air. Most people know exactly what I mean when I say that. Salty sea air, of course. Feel the soft, gentle breeze on your body. Sense of feel, tactile senses. You're feeling it. You're feeling it all over your body. You're not just touching. You're feeling it in your entire body as you walk slowly down to the water's edge. You're walking. You've got motion going on. So you see how I have incorporated all of the senses or the pertinent ones in this induction. I've got them engaged. Now, this may seem like an odd point. It may seem odd that I'm harping on this. But it is very important because some people just relate strongly to one sense, whether it's smell, whether it's touch, whether it's sight. Some people are very visual. when you have them imagine this, or maybe when you were imagining it a minute ago, if you were relaxed and listening to it, maybe you saw a beach clearly. It was a beautiful island, and you're on the beach, and you're alone, and yeah, I can see everything. And maybe you filled it in with sailboats, and the distance, and buildings off in the distance, and a beautiful blue sky with a few clouds. Some people are like that. You may be one of them. Some people don't see anything. Some people will listen to that exact same induction, and all they'll have is a sense that they're at the beach. They'll have a feeling that they're at the beach because they can feel it on the soles of their feet, or they just somehow sense that they're there. Maybe the smell draws them in, the smell of the salty sea air, the fragrant salty sea air. Not everybody is alike, and I don't really at this point suggest that you get into an extensive pretest, so just canvas everything. Throw it all in there. It paints a better picture anyway. Even if you knew that they relate strongly to motion, and that's all they relate to, you'd still want to throw in some of these other elements, just to paint a full picture, just so they can hear it coming from you, just so they can hear that, yes, we are talking about a beach, and these are the things that people experience at the beach, the things that you have experienced. Though they may not be feeling those because they relate only to one sense, it doesn't matter. So canvas all the senses. Throw them all in there. Make it as real for these people as possible, or for yourself if you're doing this for yourself. If you're going to make a tape for yourself, which I will tell you in the summary at the end how to do, then you want to throw all these things in for yourself also. Okay. So we've got the senses, and we've got the idea of incorporating motion. What else do we need to throw in there? Well, what we want to throw in there, in addition to that, is counting. And I'm sure you've heard that. You're going down to the count of 10 to 0. As I count backwards from 10 to 0, you will go deeper and deeper. Something like that. I'm sure you've heard something along those lines. 10, going deeper. 9, deeper still. 8, deeper and deeper. 7, so very deep. 6, 5, relaxing more and more, etc. You want to throw in stuff like that. Why? Because it's simple and it works. Again, boredom is the key. I'm counting backwards from 10 to 1. How much more boring can it possibly get? That's pretty boring. By the time we get to 1 or 0, you're pretty much bored. Nothing exciting going on there. Just a series of numbers going backwards. So that's one thing I like to use. Elevators are very good. You're going down an elevator. Now, some people are scared of elevators. Some people are scared to death of elevators. Make sure you ask ahead of time. Just like you ask, do you like beaches? You want to ask, do you like elevators? If you're going to use that. Escalators are wonderful if they don't like elevators. You're going down the escalator. You're riding down the escalator. Down, down, down. Stairs are wonderful. Now, stairs, I like to reserve those for the deepening. Now, we kind of ride the cusp, if you will, here between an induction and a deepening. Some things are better used as an induction, and some things are better used as a deepening. Now, the distinction is not very clear. So what you want to do is make sure that you've got some kind of counting backwards. And then if you need more, you go into that in deepenings, which I will talk about in the next chapter. So make sure you have some sort of counting backwards in the induction, maybe just a simple 10 to 1. And then you can save the real heavy-duty stuff for the deepening. The deepening is just an advanced, more powerful, more concise induction designed to drive them all the way down to the depths of trance. Okay, so here is your assignment for this chapter. What I would like you to do is write your own induction. That's right, write your own induction. Now, just let your creativity go. I mean, let it flow, let it come out, let it just let it rip. Don't spend a lot of time laboring over this. Just write it out. And it can be a page or two. It doesn't matter. It can be 10 pages if you want, if you get real creative. But just let it flow. Have them walk along a beach. Or walk in some woods. Or walk wherever. Probably not a crowded street. That wouldn't be too relaxing to imagine. But someplace where they're walking alone and it's peaceful. And you're using all their senses. You see the trees. You see the birds in the trees. You see this. You see that. You smell this. You smell that. Just make it very straightforward. But be an artist. Use creativity if you'd like. Now, if you want to just make it very straightforward, that's fine too. But I invite you and I encourage you to use at least a little bit of creativity. Paint a picture for them. Take them there. Have them walk. Have the motion going on. Now, some patients of mine are in wheelchairs. Be sensitive to that. If you're writing this for someone in a wheelchair, be sensitive to that. Do not have them walk along the beach. Do not have them wheel their wheelchair along the beach, because that doesn't work too easily. Take your subject, client, friend, whoever you'll be doing this for, into consideration. Always be aware of who you're working with. You want to avoid being insulting. You want to avoid saying the wrong thing. You want to avoid confusing people. Because if you're talking about swimming and they can't swim, well, guess what? They're not going to have a happy experience. And they're going to wonder why in the world you're using swimming and why you didn't ask ahead of time. So take them into consideration. But go ahead and write it. Write it out, even before you go on to the next chapter. Write it out. And, you know, like I said, just a few pages or 10 pages. If you've got 10 pages, stop. That's plenty. If you've got something that's 10, 15 minutes long, that's long enough. 15 minutes would be the absolute max. Do not go over 15 minutes, which would be however many pages, depending on how big you write now. Slowly you talk, but remember, you'll be talking pretty slowly, so words go a long way when you say them slowly. So write that out and incorporate counting backwards. Not a lot of it, just do a 10-to-1, because that's going to be saved. The more counting backwards and the elevators and stuff will be saved for the deepening. So just have them walk along a beach or in the woods, or if they're confined to a wheelchair, then they're rolling along a countryside. Be imaginative. Come up with something. And then somewhere in there, now I'm going to count backwards from 10-to-1. And with each number I count, you will go deeper and deeper. And remember that you're going to say it slowly. And you're going to pronounce everything perfectly, so that there is no misunderstanding. Okay? So I want you to write it out. And then, as part two of your homework, I want you to record it. Record it on tape. Yes, you will have to actually listen to yourself on tape. I know it can be humbling, believe me, but go ahead and do it. I remember the first time I heard myself on tape, I was 5 years old. And I didn't think it was me. I don't think anybody thinks it's them at first. But get over it. Get over yourself. Because if you get over yourself, you can help others. You can get on with the work. So write it out and put it on tape. And listen to it. And see if it bores you. It should. See if it relaxes you. See if it gets you in that altered state of mind. See if it drops you down to alpha, where you're just a little bit slower. You're just a little bit more relaxed. And if it puts you completely to sleep and you wake up a few hours later, don't worry about it. That's fine. And again, I want to emphasize, don't ever listen to anything hypnotic in a moving vehicle, ever. You will not be happy with the result, and neither will I. Do not listen to it in a moving vehicle. Not a good idea. Okay, so go ahead. What you're going to do, number one, write it out. Write out an induction. Use the senses. Use counting, just a simple 10-to-1. And then you want to record it on a cassette tape. And if you don't have a cassette player, that's fine. I prefer that you get one if you don't have one. But if you don't, that's fine. Don't worry about it. But if you have one, do it. And then listen to it. Don't do it and put it away. Listen to it. Get over yourself. No matter what you sound like, believe me, there are all kinds of hypnotists, hypnotherapists out there who have all kinds of voices. I've heard all kinds of voices from hypnotherapists. Believe me, yours can't be any worse. Even if this is the best you get, don't worry about it. Just go for it. Get it down there. Get it on tape. And then join me in the next chapter. All right. Welcome back. Welcome to Chapter 2, Deepenings. Did you do your homework? I hope you did. What you should have done, if not, go ahead and stop the CD right now and go do it. What you should have done is written an induction, which is just a gentle walk or stroll or roll or even a drive in some place peaceful, and then just incorporate some counting backwards from 10 to 1. And then I wanted you to read that on a cassette tape very slowly and enunciate everything and draw out words such as "and." So if you didn't do that, go do that right now. At least write it out. Okay. If you're still with me, I'm going to assume that you've done that, and we're going to move on to deepenings. Now, what is a deepening? A deepening is, as I said before in the last chapter, a deepening is not really different than an induction. In fact, induction, deepening, and script, sometimes the words become confusing and intermingled, and the definition of each one independently becomes unclear. But strictly speaking, a deepening should come at this point, after the induction and before the script, right here, right now, on your tape or in your written script, which you will later read to a subject. And a deepening is just taking them deeper. You've got them relaxed. You've got them comfortable. You've got them peaceful. You've got them thinking those peaceful thoughts, and they've left their outside world behind, and now they're under your control, and you're going to relax them even more. And what you want to do while you've got them under your control is have them go down some things, elevators, stairs, etc. So a little bit of that can be done in the induction, and I did mention it in the induction, but most of that should be saved for the deepening, and it should come after the induction. So you can have a 10 to 1 countdown in the induction, but having them go down stairs, elevators, etc. Now, when I first started my very first clients, long time ago, I think it was 1984, I had them go down escalator after escalator after escalator, just down, down, down. Let's just keep on going. That's not really necessary. If you've got someone who's reasonably relaxed, you don't need to go into overkill. For example, one good long stairway would be fine, but I would divide it up. I would have one set of stairs going to a landing, and then another set of stairs, maybe 10 stairs each. 10 stairs going to a landing, another 10 going to the bottom. And trust me, by the time they're at the bottom, they will be relaxed. They will be slowed down. I have had people come to me who their whole lives could not relax. They didn't come to me for relaxation. They come to me for other things. But they left feeling so relaxed, they had no idea they could relax that much. And a lot of that is due to the deepening. Sure, the induction gets their attention. It wakes them up, in a sense. It puts them to sleep, in another sense. But it gets their attention. It's like, this is slowdown time. Okay, this is not driving in traffic time. This is not worrying about the cell phone or the pager time. This is slowdown time, just like when you're getting a massage. This is time to relax. In fact, a lot of people compare hypnosis to massage in the sense that it offers relaxation. Of course, we also add positive suggestions for change. So that makes it quite a bit different, but the relaxation is very similar. You're just slowed down, and the deepening has a lot to do with that. Do not leave out the deepening, at least the first time you work with somebody. After that, after they trust you and after they're more relaxed, you can possibly skip the deepening. But the first time I work with people, I invariably use the deepening. I use it every time that I'm working with someone for the first time. So a simple trip down the stairs. Doop, 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 doop. You're going down the stairs. You're going peacefully. You're going easily. Nothing is going to harm you. Make sure that you say that every now and then, that you're safe, you're protected, because you don't want them using their own imagination, like, well, tumbling down the stairs. We don't want that. We want a peaceful trip down the stairs. Let's walk them down slowly, easily, effortlessly. And you need to tie it to the fact that they are going deeper. With each step you take, you will go deeper and deeper into a very, very deep state of relaxation. So make sure you get that across to them, that with each step they take down, they're going deeper. And by the time they get to the bottom, they will be very, very relaxed. Don't just have them go downstairs. Tell them that those stairs are allowing them to go deeper, and you count the steps. One, take the first step down. Two, another step down. Or, if they're on an escalator, one, moving down a little bit, two, moving down a little more down the escalator. You may want to tell them it's a long escalator, and that by the time you get to 20, they'll be at the bottom, so they're not at the bottom while you're still on 19. Because some people work pretty quickly. So make sure you spell everything out, set up everything for them. If they're in an elevator, then as I count each number, you're going down a floor, down, down to the 10th floor, down to the 9th floor, and with each floor you go down, you're so much more relaxed. You're 10 times more relaxed with each floor you go down, down, down. Are you getting the picture that I use the word down a lot? Down is good. Boring is good, and down is good. And stretching words out is good. These are little tricks of the hypnotherapist, which make the hypnosis much more productive and allow the patient to go deeper and deeper. So use the word and a lot, because it's a good word to stretch out. And use the word down a lot. Use the word deeper. Use the word slowing. Slowing down. We're not just going down now. We're slowing down. Okay? Things which imply deepness. Things which imply slowing. Okay? Use all those tricks of the trade, and you will have a very successful session. So, what do we want to do now? Well, you know your homework. You need to write a deepening. Now, this can be anything. This can be going down an escalator. But just confine it to that. Confine it to that. One event. We're going down something. We're not going down an escalator and then down an elevator and then down some stairs. Down a rappelling rope. We're not doing all that. By the way, if they like rappelling, yeah, they're going down a rappelling rope. And make sure, you know, they've got a belay guy up there holding them, so a belay person, so if they should fall, everything will be taken care of. You know, make it as secure as possible. But if they're adventurous and they like rappelling, hey, you're going down, down the face of a cliff, which for most people would be sheer terror, but some people like that. And for them, that's pure relaxation, because no one's going to bother them when they're going down the face of a mountain all alone. So, whatever works, but just one event, not a series of things. Don't put them through their paces. Don't work them out. So, you want to make it a good long stretch, though. So, I'd make this about 20 units. In other words, if you have stairs, 20 stairs. If you have an elevator, 20 floors. If you have an escalator, then it's going to take to the count of 20 to get to the bottom. If they're going down the side of a mountain, or if they're skiing down a hill, if they're adventurous skiers, then it's going to take 20 counts to get to the bottom. And nothing bad will happen to them. Nothing will harm them. Make sure you throw that in there, because some people, though they like skiing and they enjoy it, they've had an accident or two. And they could very well, you know, run into a tree while they're imagining that. And you don't want that. Not under hypnosis. So this particular trip down the side of the hill, nothing will happen to you. It will be smooth. It will be your smoothest trip down the hill ever. Okay? That's your assignment. Write a deepening. Make it 20 units that they're going down. Make it very short and sweet. This should be, oh, maybe 3 to 5 minutes. I mean, this can be just, I mean, it's short, it's sweet, it's concise, it's to the point, so it doesn't need to be lengthy. So 3 to 5 minutes. Do not make this any more than 5 minutes. In fact, try to stick closer to 3 minutes, because you've already got 10 or 15 minutes of induction. And something I didn't mention before, which I will recap at the end, is you want to have 30 to 60 seconds space now between your induction and your deepening, where you just have silence. Now, if you're using a music bed, if you're playing some gentle, soothing music or soothing beach waves or forest sounds, you can have them going the whole time during that quote-unquote silent period. But you want to have 30 to 60 seconds between the end of your induction and the beginning of your deepening. That is a deepening in itself. It's called a silence deepening. Yes, just by not talking, you will allow them to go deeper and deeper just by saying absolutely nothing. I'm going to be silent now. See how relaxing that can be? So if you have 30 to 60 seconds of that, it can be very relaxing. And some of the best deepenings I've ever written have been nothing. Just silence. Just being quiet. Zip it for a little while. let them relax on their own. Don't think you have to do everything. So put that in there. 30 to 60 seconds of silence if you're doing this on tape. And then you're deepening 20 units down something. And then come back with me when you're done for the next chapter, where we will talk about the heart of the hypnosis experience, which is the script. Okay, you have reached the end of the first CD. I will join you on the next CD. All right, welcome back. Chapter 3, Scripts. S-C-R-I-P-T-S, the most important part of any hypnosis experience is the script. So talking about scripts is going to be a very enlightening conversation for us to have, and I hope you pay very careful attention to this chapter, chapter 3 on scripts. If you have not done your homework from chapter 2, writing a deepening, please do so. Even if you don't have the ability to record it on tape now, at least write it. Go back to chapter 2 and do your homework. If you weren't clear on what it was, then go listen to it again and do your homework. And hopefully right now you have written out an induction and a deepening. And beyond that, hopefully you have recorded both of those on a cassette tape, and you have left 30 to 60 seconds between the induction and the deepening. And now we are ready to work on the script. What is a script? Well, a script is the main thing in a hypnosis experience. If you don't have a script, you're not really doing hypnosis. At least you're not doing hypnotherapy. You're not really helping anybody. And a script can be on anything. Memory improvement, weight loss, stopping smoking, improving confidence, anything you can think of. Let your imagination run wild. I always encourage people to do that. Creativity. Hey, talk about letting your imagination run wild. Creativity. You can actually write a script to enhance your creativity, to suggest to your subconscious mind that you're going to be more creative. So what we want to look at now is how to write a good script. Now, I want to, at this point, recommend some books. These are not books that I have written, nor are they books which I get a commission for, but they are good books, and I want you to be aware of them. Number one, what I'd like you to get is a book called Hypnotherapy Scripts. It's by Havens, H-A-V-E-N-S, and Walters, W-A-L-T-E-R-S, Hypnotherapy Scripts. Good book. And another good book, big red book, called Handbook of Hypnotic Suggestions and Metaphors by Hammond, H-A-M-M-O-N-D. These books are pretty much readily available, and if not, then your major bookstore chain should be able to order them for you. But get a hold of these, because not only will they review what we've already talked about, but they'll go into greater detail. And if you want some scripts and even some inductions, these would be excellent sources. They're part of my library, and I encourage you to make them part of your library. I don't know the publishers. I don't know the authors. I don't have any ties to them. This is not a money-making endeavor for me. These are just good books, which I have been fortunate enough to have added to my library, and I encourage you to do the same if you plan to continue on with this. Do you need them? No. You don't need to get them, because you will have enough information by the end of this book to go out and make your own tape. In fact, you'll have your own tape if you're doing all the assignments, and you will be well-armed to hypnotize people. So do you need them? No. Are they helpful if you want to go beyond the scope of this book? Yes, very helpful. And I use them on a regular basis. Okay. Now, what you want to do with a script is, if you have one that somebody else has written, there are a lot of them out there. We'll start with that. If you have one that somebody else has written, take a look at it. Read it through. The worst thing you can possibly do is get into a session with somebody and not have read the script through, and you're reading it for the first time while they're under hypnosis. Now, the good thing about a lot of hypnosis is that you can read the stuff. I mean, if you've got their eyes covered and they're not really seeing what you're doing, you can read it to them. Now, that's not cheating them out of anything. In fact, I think it's an ideal situation, because you're not going to get off the mark. You're going to stay on track. You're going to put into their minds exactly what you want to. You're not going to rely on your memory to put things into their mind. You're going to have it right in front of you. So do not have the script in front of you for the very first time once they're under hypnosis. Make sure that you've already read it through. And the reason you want to read it through is this. You need to pick it apart, and you need to find those things in the script which are going to work and eliminate those things which are not going to work. You need to have a full understanding of the script. Now, for 5 years, I was a preacher for the Church of Christ from 1990 to 1995. And I'll tell you, during some of those times, I went up to the pulpit without having read the sermon. I just kind of grabbed a sermon outline from another preacher, or a sermon I copied from somewhere, and I hadn't read it through. And I'll tell you what, I got into a pickle more than once when I was up there, because I came across something that I read and looked up at the people, and I didn't really understand what I had just said, and they didn't understand what I had just said, and we're kind of looking at each other, and it's very uncomfortable because I'm up here and I'm supposed to know what I'm talking about. Do your homework. Do your homework. I was in my early 20s, so I had an excuse, but still, it was my job. I should have prepared every single time. Do not allow yourself any excuses. Make sure that you read your script ahead of time. Now, for some of you, that's just common sense. But believe me, you can get caught up. You can get lazy. You can get into a rut. You want to make sure that you're very, very familiar with your script. Because unlike a live sermon where you can say, "I'm sorry, I messed up," you can't do that under hypnosis. You can't say, "I'm sorry, I just messed up," because that goes into their subconscious mind also. Be prepared. I don't say this to scare you. I just say this to prepare you. Be prepared. Okay. So, in the first scenario, we have a script, and it's written by somebody else. You're not familiar with it. You've got it for the first time. The client, patient, subject is not around yet. This is beforehand. You're prepping for the patient, and you've got it in front of you. Now read through it. I have here in front of me a script written by a good friend of mine named Anil. He's a wonderful hypnotherapist, and I was fortunate enough to take a continuing education class with him, a seminar of sorts, and we became very good friends, and he, during the course of this seminar class, wrote this script, and I'd like to read that for you now. Now see a bright light, the kind you see in big gala functions. You can choose the color of this light. That's right. Allow this light to fall directly on that tight spot in your solar plexus. You can feel this light. It is cool and very soothing. Allow this light to mix with your breath. Every breath you take will increase your confidence. Now feel this light traveling up in your chest and rising in your spine. And see how good and strong you feel. Now feel this light over your head and hair, and feel the glow radiating from your head. Okay, that's how the script starts. Now, why did I read that ahead of time? Because I want to give it my flavor. That's Anil's flavor, and it's fine. And the basic idea of the script is fine. This is a script written for actors to help them increase their audition confidence, which, by the way, since my office is currently in Beverly Hills, I get a lot of actors coming to me, even actors who are fairly far along, who just want to pump it up one more notch and increase their confidence. So I have actually used this script, but I flavor it with my own unique flavor. I also change things so that I feel comfortable saying them. For example, if I had this script and I were going to use it on somebody, for me personally, Steve G. Jones, I would not use the term big gala function. That to me sounds cumbersome. I would not say solar plexus. Anil's former training is in engineering. So for him, being scientifically correct is natural. For me, saying solar plexus sounds overly scientific. I would say chest or heart or something to that effect, but I would not be technically correct. I would not say solar plexus. I also would not say, now feel this light all over your head and hair, because to me that creates an odd picture. Feel the light all over your head and hair. I'm picturing feeling a light all over my hair. That to me sounds odd. To you it may not. That's fine. I may start laughing when I'm reading that. I don't want to start laughing when I'm trying to hypnotize someone. So go through this. Make sure there are no surprises. If someone hands you a script and says, here, use this on me, or here, use this when you have that kind of situation where you want someone to lose weight, read it ahead of time. And don't be afraid to alter it. It is not written in stone. You must take it and create your own unique flavor, something which flows freely from your mouth, something that sounds like you would say it, not something that's overly scientific. In the one book I recommended, by the way, I'm reading it right now in my office, The Handbook of Hypnotic Suggestions and Metaphors by Hammond. I'm reading the title off of my bookshelf. If you use that book, for example, that is a book which is written by people with advanced degrees, and it reads fairly academically. And you may not speak that way. In fact, most hypnotherapists do not speak the way that book is written. You would want to take those scripts and rewrite them. Just take the general idea, because there are some very good scripts, but you want to take them and make them your own. You've got to tailor things to your own unique flavor. I can't emphasize that enough. Do not get stuck on the idea that this is the way it is, and I must read this script this way. Take it and change it to where it suits you. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to be creative. The one thing you have to avoid, and as long as you stick by this rule, you'll be fine. The one thing you have to avoid is putting anything bad in there. Don't suggest anything bad. It's very simple. We do not harm people. We help people. You are saying good things. You are not putting scary things in there. You are not putting bad things. You're not putting harmful things. You're not putting in things that will arouse them to be afraid. Everything is calm. Everything is peaceful. Everything is beautiful. Everything is positive. As long as you stick to that, you will be fine. All right. So let's take a look at the other scenario. Now, in this scenario, you don't have a script. You have nothing. And someone comes to you, and let's say they want to lose weight. They want to lose weight, and you don't have a script. What do you do? What will you do? You have nowhere to turn. You don't have those books yet that I mentioned. You find out that they're rather expensive, and you don't want to buy them. So, what do you do? Do you give up? No, you don't give up. You take heart in the fact that everything you need is already within you. You just need a little guidance, that's all. So let's take this step by step. First of all, what's the goal? The goal is for them to lose weight, right? They want to lose weight. So, why not find out ahead of time what they're eating that's harmful? What are those foods they're eating, and when are they eating them? And then we can work that into the script. For example, I'm eating Snickers bars at 11 p.m. right before I go to bed. I'm eating three of them a night. I can't figure out why on earth I'm gaining weight. It's just not fair. That's what I tell you ahead of time before we start the hypnosis, when I give you things to work with, when you're talking with the person before you do anything. You need to find out things. Find out things like that. What are you doing? If they've got a weight gain problem or they can't lose the weight, what are they doing? So find that out. Then you're going to put that here. This is the place for all of that. They're afraid of flying. This is the place for that, the script. They're afraid of, going down elevators. This is where that goes. This is the therapy portion of the hypnosis, the script. The rest is relaxation and bringing them up and other things, but this is where the healing takes place. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about a script. So if you've got nothing to work with, find out what's going on with them. What's causing it? That way you can deal with it. Now, again, scripts, getting detailed into scripts would be beyond the scope of this book. This is simply to introduce you to hypnosis. So if you get into a lot of complicated issues, and most issues, by the way, can be boiled down to essentials, but if you get into things which seem tricky to you, then I encourage you to get one of the books I recommended or another book, and just go from there and read. I encourage you to study. So, if you've got the essentials, what's going on, then you can work with them. If they have confidence issues, well, what are you going to do for them? You're going to help them get over that lack of confidence. You're going to have them imagine themselves walking into that audition and being strong. Imagine them going. Have them imagine themselves going into that audition and just having all the confidence in the world, being extremely confident. If they're afraid of planes, they get on that plane. They take that plane ride. They get off that plane, and nothing goes wrong. Have them imagine the whole thing, and nothing goes wrong. Be creative. You know, put things in there. You can see the cockpit from where you are before takeoff, and everything looks fine, and you know that your bags are stowed and you just feel great because everything's taken care of and it's a smooth flight. You look outside if it's daytime and you see the sky and it's so beautiful. Just take them there. If they're in an audition, have them imagine themselves there. There's a director. Again, that's something that I work on with people. You may not work on anyone with auditions ever, but that's on the forefront of my mind many times. So they walk into the audition, and everyone's just happy to see them. They sense it. Because a lot of times when people go into places where they're nervous about going, people aren't always happy to see them. But if they have that ahead of time, that they sense the people are happy to see them, that almost sets it up, because they give off that vibe. They give off that confident vibe. And that's what we're trying to set up. We're trying to set up change. Change happens from within. You change and your surroundings change. So if you get them more confident, then people see them as more confident. They respond to them. If you're working on motivation, find out why they're not motivated. They're not motivated because they don't think it'll produce the results. So in the script, have them see the desired results already accomplished. They've already accomplished that. They've already achieved whatever it is they have been procrastinating on. By the way, when I work with people on procrastination, I don't call it procrastination. I call it motivation, because that's the positive way of looking at things. When I sell CDs, for example, on my website, and it's for fear of flying, I don't call it fear of flying. I call it freedom to fly. Freedom to fly. So get used to wording things in a positive, helpful way. Now, when I sell a CD on alcohol abuse, I call it alcoholism because I haven't been able to think of a positive way to phrase that yet. Drinking a lot less. If you have any suggestions, please let me know. But you get the point. Phrase things in a positive way when possible. Find out what's going on with them. Have them see themselves having accomplished whatever it is. If they're afraid of snakes, why not have them see a snake from the distance? Everything's fine. And if you want to now, you can walk closer. Only walk as close as you feel comfortable with, and no closer. And each time you listen to this tape, you can allow yourself to get closer, but understand that no harm will come to you. So I'm inviting you to use your creativity. I'm inviting you to reach inside and pull something out of yourself, something that will be helpful. I'm not going to tell you a way to write a script that's written in stone, because that would limit your creativity. The sky is the limit, literally. When it comes to flying, fear of flying, the sky is the limit. And even that's not the limit. Go beyond. Just let it flow. Let it flow. Just keep in mind your plan, your idea, your motive, your motivation, if you're an actor, is to help the person. You're trying to help them. And if you're making a tape for yourself, you're trying to help yourself, aren't you? You're trying to help. So everything is positive. Everything is uplifting. We're not dwelling on the negative. That's not what we do. We focus on the positive. We keep our eye on the mark. And whatever you keep your eye on, wherever your focus is, that's where you will go. We want to keep their focus, their eye on the positive, on that positive change, that positive change from within, as if it's already happened. Have them imagine it as if it's already happened. I'm already flying. I'm not planning on it. I'm getting on that plane. I'm imagining getting on that plane. I'm flying. I'm getting as close to that snake as I feel comfortable with. I'm taking the steps to get to that escalator, and I'm on it, and everything's fine. Everything's fine, because in hypnosis, I'm just imagining it. I'm just imagining it. But you know what? The beauty of hypnosis, your body does not know the difference between imagining something and having it actually happen. Your body does not know the difference. As far as your body knows, physiologically, the responses are the same, whether you're imagining it or whether you're there. So as far as your body knows, you're there. You're on that beach in the induction. You're going down those stairs in the deepening. You're getting near that snake that you're afraid of. You're going on that escalator. So you have the beauty of them knowing that they're just imagining it under hypnosis, and you have the beauty of them getting the benefit of having done it without even doing it. Isn't that wonderful? They get the benefit of having gone down that escalator safely without even having left the chair. They're still reclined in that chair, yet, as far as their body knows, they're going down that escalator. What does that mean? That means when it comes time to actually do it, they'll already have the experience under their belt. They will already have gone down that escalator. Did they go down it? No, of course not. Do they know that? Of course they know. It was just imaginary. But physiologically, they don't know. Their body has reacted as though it happened. And so you're forming new associations for them. They now associate a pleasant feeling with going down that elevator, down that escalator, into that crowd of people, up on that stage, in that airplane, near that snake. I have a lady who's coming to see me soon who's afraid of going in parking garages. Guess what? She's going to go in a parking garage while under hypnosis. And guess what? She's no longer going to be afraid of going in parking garages because she'll form new associations. Her old association, the one she has right now, is that that's scary. I don't want to go in there. That's not for me. Okay? Now she does want to go in there, otherwise she wouldn't be coming to see me. And she wouldn't be paying me money if she didn't want to go in there. So she really does want to go in there. I just have to give her a new association. It's not scary. It's happy. It's pleasant. It's just like walking on the street. It's comfortable. You're in the parking garage, and you realize that no one and nothing can harm you. The building is sound. The structure is strong and firm and will continue to be strong and firm. And you realize this now. You realize how comfortable you are as you stand in the parking garage beneath the building. You are so relaxed. Now, am I going to say things like, you realize the building will not collapse on you and kill you? No, I'm not going to say things like that. Again, we're focusing on the positive. Focusing on the positive. And that's not a naive approach. That's the approach that works. It's not as if we're ignoring the potential for harm. We're well aware of the potential for harm. And believe me, when they come in, the patients, they're well aware of the potential for harm too. But we're focusing on the positive because we want them to form a new association. So we use positive words. We use pleasant experiences. And that forms the new association. Could something bad happen? Of course it could. Of course it could. It's the risk we all take when we fly, when we go in a parking structure underground, when we go down an escalator. Something could happen to the escalator. Who knows? It could happen. We are aware of that, but we're forming new associations so that these people are no longer limited by their beliefs. They can move ahead in life. They can get the result they want. They can travel on escalators just like most people are able to do. They can go in parking garages just like most people. They want to be able to do what most people are able to do. That's the result. So you want to focus on getting them where they want to be. And the way to do that is to have them imagine already having done it. Okay. Have I harped on things enough? Have I driven it home? What's your assignment? I think you know your assignment. Your assignment, should you choose to accept it, is to write a brief script on weight loss in which you will have the person imagine themselves slimmer and thinner and having reached their desired goal. What's essential in this? Knowing their goal, knowing what to focus on, getting that firmly implanted in their minds. What are they moving toward? If they know the target, they can hit it. if they don't know the target, then who knows what they'll be shooting at. Find out ahead of time and make sure it's reasonable. Make sure they don't want to go from 400 pounds to 100 pounds in 6 weeks. Make sure it's reasonable. And if you have any question whatsoever, consult with a physician. And as I always say at the beginning of my hypnosis CDs and before I will treat anyone in my office, if they are under the care of another healthcare professional, make sure that you have gotten permission to work with them. Because if they're already seeing a physician for weight loss, you don't want to conflict with that. If they're already seeing a psychologist for their fear of snakes, you better contact that psychologist. And you better let them know what you plan on doing. And you better get permission. You do not want to get yourself in any trouble. So, find out what is a reasonable amount for them to lose. If you don't know, and if they're not under the care of a physician, ask somebody. Ask a dietitian. Everyone knows or knows someone who knows a healthcare professional of some sort, a nurse, a dietitian, a doctor, a physician's assistant, someone. Find out what's reasonable for them to lose or to expect to lose so that they can have a reasonable goal, a reasonable target which they can hit, a reasonable time frame, and then work that in. You imagine yourself 6 months from now having lost 50 pounds, whatever it may be. You work that in. You have eliminated from your eating habits things which you realize are no longer good for you. Junk foods, snack foods. If you should eat any of these foods, you eat a very, very small amount. You limit carbohydrates, breads, grains, etc. I think you get the point. You're working with this person, or maybe yourself. You may happen to need to lose some weight, in which case you're in luck, because in a short period of time, you're going to have a tape that's going to help you get there. So work all these things in. Make the tape. If you missed anything, please go back and listen to this chapter again, because this is very important. Chapter on scripts. You want to make sure that you understand what a script is and what it's supposed to do, because a script is the main thing. This is it. This is the heart, the soul of hypnosis. This is what it's all about. What are we trying to accomplish? What are we trying to move them toward? And the script does that. The rest is essential. The stuff before that and the stuff after that, but the script is numero uno. Job number one. Okay, so your assignment, write a script. Now, a script should be about, let's say, between 5 and 10 minutes long. So, if you've written more than 10 pages, again, stop. You're done. You got it. Okay, again, I don't know how fast or slow you talk, but if you've written more than 10 minutes worth of stuff, stop. That's plenty. That's plenty. We want to make the whole thing about 30 to 40 minutes. Everything. Everything we've done so far and everything we will do on your tape or that you'll use to read to someone in your session. You want to make it 30 to 40 minutes tops. There are a number of reasons for that. Number one, people don't want to sit that long without using the bathroom. Okay? These little water things are very popular. Water things people carry around. Some people drink quite a bit before they come to see you. 30 or 40 minutes is just about right. And then they're going to need to get up and use the restroom. Number two, you don't need to go on and on and on. You need to be very much to the point. Get to it. It's very surgical. It's very mechanical. There are parts where you can introduce your creativity, yes, but you're sticking to the basic outline, and you do not want to go outside of what is required, because then you're just being fluffy for the sake of fluffiness, and we don't want that. So give yourself 10 minutes. Write a beautiful script. Write a script that flows from your heart, but a script also that does the job. And still you can use all those ideas of imagery. You can call in anything. I mean, you can still have trees around. You can still have the ocean nearby if you want. You still have that. Or you can just have them sitting at a table and imagine those foods on the table. They see those foods and they push them off the table because they don't want them. They push them away. They get rid of them. They put them in the trash can. You can have something like that. Don't make it violent. Just make you then gently brush them into the trash can. And you realize you do not need them any longer to feel good about yourself. Incorporate those ideas, feeling good about yourself. You feel good about yourself. Because one of the main components to weight loss is feeling good about yourself. Because people will eat to feel good about themselves. We want to replace that. You now feel good about yourself. You are kind to yourself. You treat yourself with respect. You do not poison your body. You do not put things in your body which will cause it to gain excessive weight. You love yourself. Those things are very important, so incorporate all of them. Okay, I'll let you get to it. Again, if you ever have any questions, comments, anything, feel free to email me, and I will promptly get back to you, unless I'm in session. And I hope you really write a wonderful script for weight loss. Just write it on weight loss. Even if you have some other ideas, just make note to them. I want you to get something down so that when I'm done with you here, you'll have a complete, at least complete written-out session, if not a complete tape. So write out a script. And if you're putting it on tape, allow 30 to 60 seconds between your deepening and your script. So go ahead and do that now, and I will join you in the next chapter, which I think you're going to find very interesting. But go do your homework. I'll see you soon. Chapter 4, Amnesia. Interesting term, amnesia. Do we want the patient to forget everything that we've done for them? Will it be lost if they do? Well, we do want them to forget as much as possible. Will it be lost? No. It's stored in their subconscious minds. So what we want to do is at the end of the script, again, leaving 30 to 60 seconds between segments, at the end of the script, we want to leave 30 to 60 seconds and then introduce amnesia. Basically, if you could say it straightforward, which I don't recommend doing, but if you could say it straight out, you would say, you will now forget everything I just told you. You will not remember anything. Let it go. Erase it from your mind. But you will act on it. So, amnesia is a way to get what you just said out of their conscious mind. Why is that important? Why do we want it out of their conscious mind? Well, think about it. If it were that simple that we could just say, hey, you're going to lose weight, then why not just do it when they're in normal waking consciousness, when they're in beta? Why do we drop them down to alpha or even lower in some cases? Well, we want to get their conscious mind out of the picture. We want to have their subconscious mind listening to us. So, we bore their conscious mind to death. Oh, you're going deeper and deeper, and they just kind of let go consciously, and then we're talking to their subconscious mind. That's the whole point of hypnosis, getting to the subconscious mind. Now, what if this conscious mind, during this whole process, is kind of paying attention? Because they've never been hypnotized before, and they're kind of skeptical because hypnosis is kind of strange, and I've heard things about stage hypnotists and what they make people do, and I don't want to do things against my will and so forth, so I'm gonna struggle, I'm gonna pay attention. I'm gonna pay attention to as much as I possibly can, and then I'm gonna analyze it, because I know you're telling me I'm more confident now, but I know I'm really not. I'm scared. I'm not like that. I'm scared to get on that airplane. I'm scared to go to that audition. I'm scared to go in that parking garage. I know that. You can't tell me otherwise. That's the conscious mind. That's the big problem. If the conscious mind weren't a problem, we wouldn't need to use hypnosis. We could just tell them, hey, guess what? You're not scared anymore. You're not scared of anything. You're Superman. You're Wonder Woman. But we can't do that because most people are not that suggestible. Some people are. Some people, you can tell them anything and they'll believe it. I'm sure you know people like that. Those are excellent subjects. They do everything they're told. And that would be a beautiful world if every subject were like that, but they're not. Most people need some sort of repetition. And by the way, when I'm done, I'll summarize this at the end, but when I'm done and done with the session, I'll give them a copy of the tape. I'll give them the actual tape. In your case, you may want to give a friend a copy of the tape you're making. And I'll let them listen to it every night. I'll say, listen to it every night. If they buy a CD from me, listen to it every night. For how long? For 21 days. Because we found out that's what it takes to change. 21 days. Listen to it every night for 21 days. 3 weeks. 3 solid weeks. No breaks. I don't care if you're on vacation. I don't care if you had a rough day. It's easier to get to sleep listening to it. Listen to it as you go to sleep for 3 weeks. So, what we want to do is get them to forget what has just happened. It is in their best interest to forget everything or as much of everything as they just heard. Does this work? You betcha. It works. They will forget a considerable amount of what you said. They'll forget a considerable amount anyway, even if you don't use amnesia, because people will tend to go in and out, and some people go very deeply and don't really pay attention to what you say anyway. God bless those people. They're wonderful to work with. Some people will try to stay awake the whole time and in full waking consciousness and critique everything you say. That's why amnesia comes in so handily at the end. Because if you've been trying to follow along, then guess what? I'm going to throw you a curveball. I'm going to make it difficult for you to remember. I'm going to make it difficult for your highly analytical mind to pick apart everything. So, amnesia is a wonderful tool. Now, how does amnesia work? I suggested that a straightforward approach with amnesia isn't the best approach. Just saying, hey, you're going to forget everything. That's not the best approach. That's not the approach that I recommend. Let me read to you an example of an amnesia script. Now, again, I'm using the term script. As I mentioned before, these terms tend to be interchangeable. Yes, amnesia is part of the script in one sense, but it's a separate thing in another sense. So let me read you, for lack of a better term, an amnesia script. As you continue to relax, every breath you take is soothing you. And I want you now to become aware of your breathing. And I wonder how much attention you have paid to all the different thoughts going through your mind. And then you can become aware of how difficult it is to remember what I was saying exactly 10 minutes ago. And you could try to remember what I was saying 5 minutes ago. Or what you were thinking 14 minutes ago. But doesn't it seem like too much work to try to remember all that? In fact, it seems that it takes more effort than it's really worth. So I want you now to relax, 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 and understand that it is not necessary to remember when it's too much work to do. Okay, what have I done? I've done what I like to think about as scrambled eggs. I've taken their mind and all the information in it and kind of scrambled it up like you'd scramble eggs. We're doing that, as I said, so that the conscious mind has trouble hanging on. Their analytical mind that says, you know, I know you said I could fly in that plane, but gosh darn it, I don't believe it. I don't think I really can. I think you're just saying that. And their analytical mind is going to, their conscious mind is just going to pick everything apart. So we want to have them consciously forget as much as possible. Again, this will not be completely erased from their minds. It will be in their subconscious mind. It will be there forever. Experiences which happen to us, things we hear, all that is recorded indelibly on our subconscious mind, meaning it's there forever. It's there. It can be accessed. So don't worry. You're not erasing the hard drive. There's no scrub command. You can't erase the entire hard drive or even parts of it. Try as you may, it will still be there. Trust me. So you want to subtly suggest to them that it's difficult to remember what you were saying. This is going to have a therapeutic effect. Now, do not, under any circumstances, say, you're going to forget what I was saying. Because if they're the type of person who is analytical and has been pretty much hanging on consciously, at least through this first session the whole time, they're going to say, oh, yeah, right. I'm going to forget it. You wish. You want to kind of throw them a curveball, kind of slide it in under the radar. They don't really know what you're talking about when you say you may find it difficult to remember and so forth. They kind of get caught up in analyzing that, too. So just do it subtly, with subtle wording. Don't be blunt about this. In your script, you can be blunt. In your induction, you can be blunt. In your deepening, you can be blunt. You're on the beach. You're going down the stairs. You're flying on the plane. Okay, there's no hiding anything going on. But here, we want to be a little crafty. We want to slide this in. We want to slide it in under their radar. It's for their own good. If they detect it consciously, they may very well throw it out. So, amnesia. You will forget everything you have heard. That's right. Okay? Got the picture? Amnesia. Get it out of that conscious mind. Okay, so, what is your assignment for this brief chapter on amnesia? Your assignment is to come up with your own subtle amnesia script, your own subtle script. Basically, you're telling them, hey, you're going to forget everything I just said. You need to find your own way of saying that, though, a subtle way, and make it about a minute long. Do not get carried away with amnesia, ever, ever, ever. In fact, if you find that you've got a patient who you work with, and you've worked with them a few times, and they go under deeply, and they don't seem to be remembering consciously anything anyway, skip amnesia. It's not necessary. This is not a necessary component. Neither is the deepening. If you have a patient who's going under, and they're going under nicely, and you eliminate the deepening one session, let's assume you're having up to six or so sessions with them, and by session three it occurs to you, hey, they go pretty deep, I'm going to eliminate the deepening. And they come back the next time and you ask them how their experience was, and they say, you know, hey, I'm just knocked out, right? When you start talking about those ocean waves, I'm gone. I don't remember anything. Perfecto. You don't need the deepening. So you can experiment with things. You can take out the deepening. You can take out amnesia. Those two things are not necessary. You've got enough relaxation in the induction to relax them, to slow them down. You've got a counting backwards from 10 to 1. You've got some deepening components in the induction. The script, always essential. Why are you there? Because you're trying to make that change. The induction, essential. You've got to slow them down. Deepening, optional. Amnesia, optional. But for the first session and for your homework, it is essential. You will now write an amnesia script, no longer than a minute. okay. It can be a few seconds longer than a minute. Doesn't really matter. But try to keep it very brief. If you're writing it on a page, one page is plenty. So you are going to leave a space of 30 to 60 seconds on your cassette tape between the script and the amnesia. Okay? You're going to do the amnesia. Go ahead and do that, and then join me in the next chapter as we bring them back up. Because you do want them to come back up, don't you? You can't just leave them there. Okay, I'll join you there. Go to it. Okay, welcome back. Chapter 5, Transtermination. Bringing them back up. That's all it is, bringing them back up. And it can be as simple as, on the count of three, you'll be back up. 1, 2, 3. That could be the whole chapter, Transtermination. It's not very complicated. What you're doing at this point is allowing them to transition. Now, hopefully you're not going to do it that abruptly. You're not going to say, when I say three, you'll come up. 1, 2, 3, you're up. You want to allow them to have time, approximately a minute or two, to kind of get used to the idea of relaxation times coming to an end. It's time to come back up now. You know, when you're awakened suddenly, it's not that fun. It works. It gets you up. If someone says, hey, wake up! But it's not the best way to wake up. It's nicer when you complete a dream and you're in that stage of sleep where you can easily wake up, and you do easily wake up. When I wake up like that, I think of it as my bread being baked. It's like my bread is done in the oven. It's not half baked. It's not, it doesn't require any more heat. It's done. Ah, it's just right. My bread is baked just right. And it's time to be removed from the oven. So if you wake someone up out of hypnosis abruptly, it's kind of like it being halfway done, and some parts of it are still kind of doughy. It's not quite done. I love waking up in the morning when it just happens. And sometimes I even synchronize with my alarm clock, and I wake up right before it, and that's always nice. And it's just right, because my sleep cycle is synchronized with what I need to do in my daily life. That's the way the end of a good hypnosis session should be. Just like waking up gently, coming back to the world. Now, you have been in the world throughout the entire session, if you're working with someone. You're there the whole time. So for you, it's not abrupt, and you're not thinking in terms of it being abrupt. But you need to put yourself in their shoes. They are in a state of total relaxation. And yes, you have done it. You have brought them to that place of total peace and relaxation. And believe me, they don't want to leave it. They want to stay in that chair all day. The most common thing I hear when I bring someone back up after transtermination, after the end of the session, is just let me stay here. Can I stay here the rest of the day? Please let me stay right here. Or sometimes I hear, oh, when you started bringing me back up, I felt my body coming back up, but I didn't want to. I wanted to stay in that relaxed position, that relaxed place. I wanted so desperately to stay there, but you brought me back up, and it's like I could hear you calling to me. I'm at the bottom of a well, peacefully, and you're calling to me, and I'm rising like water, but I don't want to. So keep in mind, they're in a very peaceful, relaxed situation. You need to be gentle. Be gentle. But at the same time, your voice needs to transition into something more firm. Now, on many of my hypnosis CDs at the end, I just say, basically, that you're going to go to sleep. I'm done with what I had to say, and now you're going to go to sleep. That's the way I do things on most of the hypnosis CDs which I sell, and when I make a tape for people, I usually do that as well. Sometimes you'll want to have a suggestion that you're coming back up, because sometimes people want to listen to a tape during the day, and they want to come back up. So what I always suggest, just to be on the safe side, is if you listen to your own tape during the day, even if you have a suggestion on there to come back up, you may get so relaxed in that comfy, wumpy place that you don't want to come up, I suggest that you set an alarm clock for the end of it. So say it's 30 to 40 minutes. Time it out and set it for about 5 or 10 minutes beyond the length of the actual tape or CD or whatever you're listening to. So you can listen to my CDs during the day, but set an alarm clock. Always do that, even if there is a trance termination where you're bringing yourself or the person back up, just to be on the safe side. I have a lot of actors who listen to my tapes before, tapes and CDs, tapes I've done in the office or CDs which they've purchased before an audition. And you do not want to sleep through an audition, or you have defeated the whole purpose. So I always say set an alarm if you're going to listen to it during the day. But even if you do listen to it during the day, still listen to it that night, every night for 21 days. That's how we get a change, by repetition, because you've done it this way for so long. You need to get used to doing it the other way for so long. You've been afraid thinking about airplanes for so long. You need to have the experience, at least subconsciously, of flying on an airplane for a while, for 21 days, where everything goes smoothly. And that's how you can get to that place of change. So, back to the point. Trance termination, bring them back up. And let me share with you a trance termination script. Okay, are you ready? Now, don't copy my stuff word for word, by the way. You got to make up your own stuff. Okay, it's as simple as this. We're turning them around. We're getting them accustomed to the idea that they will be coming back up soon. We're not just bringing them back up. We're getting them accustomed to the idea. But we're doing it in a fairly methodical way. We're moving them along. We're not giving them all day to get ready to get used to the idea of coming back up. We're moving them along. But we're doing it in a gentle way. Now, in just a few moments, you're going to come back up at the count of three. And when I bring you back up, you're going to feel comfortable. You're going to feel relaxed. You are going to feel as though you have had a very peaceful nap. And even after you are out of hypnosis, know that your subconscious mind will act on every word on this tape. And each time you listen to this tape, these suggestions will become stronger and stronger. Each and every time you listen to this tape, these suggestions will become more and more a part of you. And you will become more and more a person of your choosing, a relaxed, confident, calm, peaceful person who is able to lose weight easily and effortlessly. All right now. One, beginning to come up, feeling very good, filled with energy, rested, feeling as though you have had a peaceful nap. Two, coming up even more, beginning to move now, beginning to stir, and totally at ease. Three, eyes wide open, relaxed, refreshed, and feeling wonderful. Okay, now did you notice the build? If you're an actor, you probably did. The build between one and three, there was a considerable change. Now, I wasn't yelling at three. I wasn't shouting at them. And I wasn't whispering at one. But there was a noticeable change. I am allowing them to transition into consciousness, into full awakening consciousness. And I am doing that for them easily and effortlessly. One, two, 3. As I move from 1 to 3, my voice is becoming more conversational. This is the way I normally speak. This is me, Steve G. Jones, speaking normally. This is just the way I talk. This is the way I speak when I am hypnotizing someone and trying to get them to relax, get them to unwind, get them to slow down. But I must transition between 1 and the number 2 and the number 3. There must be a noticeable change. Okay, so you're allowing them to come out of that. And notice also that I told them ahead of time, even before I did it, that I'm going to count from 1 to 3 in a little while. We're going to get to that. I preempted them. I told them ahead of time. And then I said some stuff about, hey, but you're going to listen to, your mind's going to, you know, act on all the stuff on this tape. It's going to work. It's going to sink in there. And every time you listen to it, it's going to get stronger and stronger. I put that in there between the time that I told them I'm going to bring them back up at the count of 3 and the time that I actually brought them back up at the count of 3. So I didn't just say, hey, you're going to come up at the count of 3, 1, 2, 3. I was very soothing and gentle about that. And when I brought them back up, it was through a transition in my voice where I eventually got to normal conversational tones. See that? It's not that difficult. It's just a matter of letting things flow and then bringing them back to conversational tones. Okay? So you want to practice that. You want to practice that swing, that 3-level talk and that 2-level talk and then that conversational 1-level talk. Guess what? The show's over. You're back up. The relaxation is over. You're back up. Now, after you bring them back up, do you want to say, okay, you're up, get out, next? No, of course not. You want to allow them a reasonable amount of time to come back to you, because even after you bring them back up, they're not going to jump right up in most cases. Some people do. Most people do not. 90% of people do not jump back up. Most people want to relax and come back slowly. In fact, many times I'll bring people back up and they're still in the same position that they were when I was hypnotizing them. When we were in the middle of it, in the script, they haven't moved. They're still in the same exact position. Oh no, what do you do then? You relax. You unwind. Everything's fine. What's happened is they've gotten so relaxed that they don't want to jump up yet. They don't want to stand up and march around. They don't want to get up and drive away. They don't want to get up and conduct a symphony. They just want to relax. They want to come back slowly. Now, in some cases, you'll let that person relax there for a minute or so after you've spent a minute or so bringing them back up. And guess what? They're still not moving. They're still in the exact same position. At this point, you want to suggest to them that they will begin moving, however you want to phrase that. Now, stop the tape at that point. You've already got everything on tape for them that you want if you're recording the session. You don't want an added part where you're saying, get up, get up, get up, or anything like that. You want to stop the tape if you're recording it for them. And I record all sessions for my patients. But what you want to do then is use your tact, use your gracefulness, and somehow get them awake. If you have been playing relaxing music and you're still playing it, guess what? It's time to slowly turn it down over the course of about 5 seconds, down to 0. And if that still doesn't work, then you need to begin speaking to them again, whether it's through a microphone, which I do with headphones, or whether it's directly through the air if you don't have them wearing headphones, and say, you are now completely out of hypnosis, and say it in very firm tones. You are now completely out of hypnosis. Don't shout it. Just be very matter of fact. Now, in a worst case scenario, you may have to shake them. I try to avoid at all costs touching the patient because that's just something you don't want to be jostled while you're trying to relax. You're coming back slowly, coming back. You don't want someone to touch you because, your response may not be favorable. It seems almost like an attack when you're so relaxed. At your very, very last resort, turning on lights, turning on some other music, slowly turning it up, beginning a conversation with them, things of that nature. Something will more than likely bring them back up. Last resort is, hey, buddy, time to get up. You know, little shake on the shoulder. Very gentle shake on the shoulder, I might add. But it probably will never come to that. You'll probably never have to do that. So do not worry, because sometimes people get themselves into a panic when they've done their thing and the person's just not moving. Oh, my goodness, it's been 5 minutes and they're not moving. Well, make the environment stimulating. Lights, camera action, get some music playing. Start talking. Say the session is over. It was wonderful having you. Thank you very much. I'm so glad you came. Get a little louder if you have to. I promise you they're going to come back around. Or, you know what, if they don't need to come back around, if they're at their place or at your place and you're comfortable with them being there, let them drift off into a sleep. It doesn't matter. They are not going into a coma. That is a misnomer. You do not actually need to bring them out of hypnosis. It's not vital. But if they need to get on with their lives, if they need to do something that day, bring them up. Find a way. Get them up. You can do it. Be creative. But don't be invasive. And don't be rude. Just find a way to bring them back up. And you can do it. Okay? So if worse comes to worse and they can lay there, they don't need to go anywhere, let them rest, for goodness sakes. They may need it after all. Okay, so that is trance termination. What is your assignment? Your assignment is to bring them back up. Your assignment is to write out your very own, from your very own mind, trance termination. To bring them back up. It should be maybe 1 or 2 minutes long, very short. If you're writing it out, a page or two, the very most. Try to keep it to a page, though. This is something that's very brief. It goes from 0 to 60 with a pretty good clip. It's moving along. It's not going to be a sudden change. But it's going to progress. It's going to keep moving right along. So don't get caught up. Don't take all day to bring them back up. Like I'm taking all day to explain this. So your assignment is to take a little break in your tape of 30 to 60 seconds if you're recording on tape, and then record your well-written transtermination script, part of the script. Again, that word script is used everywhere. But write your transtermination, and if you are recording, leave 30 to 60 seconds and then record it. Don't spend all day on the transtermination or any of it. And if you have not done any of this yet, it may be because you're a perfectionist and you feel that you can't do it unless you do it just right. So let go of that. Just do it. Just go ahead and do it. Just try it. Just let it flow. I promise you, if you have the best intentions, you will not make a mistake. You will not cause any harm. Okay, so go ahead and do that. And then come back, and we'll have an overview in the next chapter. We'll kind of wrap it all together for you. Okay, go do your homework. All right, welcome back. Chapter 6, overview. Well, at this time, I'd like you to pat yourself on the back, because you've done a very good job. If you've done all your assignments, you've now got at least an entire session for for weight loss, which you can modify to be anything you want. You can take that script part out of it and any other references you may have to the specific problem of weight loss and put in whatever you like. Confidence, motivation, whatever you would like. So you now have a good, not only a good script and entire hypnosis session for weight loss, you now have a good outline, a good everything except script for anything you want to do. So all you have to do is change that script out and you can accomplish anything you'd like. And you can use these tapes you make on yourself. Again, if you're going to work on something in particular, give yourself 21 days. Don't do a lot of stuff. I sell CDs to people all over the world, and sometimes people buy four at once. And they send me emails, and they say, well, should I listen to them one after the other every night? And I write back to them, no. You take the first one. I will gladly sell you as many CDs as you want at one time, but do not listen to them all at one time. Do not listen to them all in the same night or the same day or even the same three-week period. Give yourself 3 weeks to allow the change to happen the right way, to allow yourself to ease into the change. Do not try to force change, because all that will happen is you will get frustrated and you will not achieve your goal. See, if you've got this idea that you're going to lose 60 pounds in a week and you're going to listen to this weight loss tape 5 times a day, for a week, you're going to cram it all in. You're going to listen to it 5 times a day. I mean, that's the same as 3 weeks, once a day, isn't it? It's even better. No, it's not. It's a lot worse because you're setting yourself up for failure. Set reasonable but good goals. Set reasonable but good goals and help the people you work with set reasonable but good goals. Good and productive goals. Goals they can reach. Aim high, yes. But if you're aiming super high, give yourself time. If you make it ahead of time, great. More power to you, but never set yourself up or anyone else up for failure. Never, never, never. Do not promise people that they're going to lose 500 pounds in 3 weeks. Do not promise that. Do not even promise someone they'll lose 60 pounds or 50 pounds in 3 weeks. Find out what a reasonable amount of weight loss is for that person. Use reasoning. Use kindness. You are not being kind if you try to do that. You feel perhaps that you are being very helpful, and in fact, you're not. So, set high and reasonable goals for yourself and others. Listen to your tape or have your client, patient, listen to the tape you give them for 21 days. Every night, listen to it. Some people tell me, I was too tired to listen to it 3 nights this week. What do you mean too tired to listen to it? If you're going to sleep, listen to it. It's going to put you to sleep. That's the way it works. It's going to put you to sleep at the end. You're not too tired to listen to it. You may be too tired to go out and exercise, yeah, but you're never, ever, ever too tired or too busy to listen to a hypnosis tape, because you can listen to it at the end of your day when you go to sleep. Now, if you're not sleeping for a 48-hour period, then you've got another problem called insomnia, in which case you need to break that up with a hypnosis tape, because hopefully it will allow you to get so relaxed that you will fall asleep afterwards. So there is never, ever an excuse for not being able to do it. So, focus on one thing for each 21-day period. One thing. And then move on. Okay? I wanted to take a moment just to make sure you have the order down for the hypnosis cassette you're making, or for any hypnosis session you do in the future. So let's briefly take a look at that. First, you have the induction, which is about 10 to 15 minutes long. then a 30 to 60 second pause, the deepening, just a few minutes on the deepening, then 30 to 60 second pause, script, about 10 minutes or so on the script. Try not to go over 10 minutes. That would be a bit lengthy. 30 to 60 second pause. Amnesia, which is very brief, a minute or two. 30 to 60 second pause. Transtermination, again, a minute or two. Just bring them back up. Those times are not written in stone. You may want to play around with them, but that gives you a good framework to work with. And as always, I encourage you to be creative. Use what works for you. Stick to the framework for now and then branch out. So if you ever have any questions, comments, scripts you'd like to share, scripts you'd like me to evaluate, email me. If you'd like to take a class in person, if you're going to be in the Los Angeles area, check my website. If you don't see any classes coming up, email me. Ask me when I'm going to teach class. If you'd like to schedule a session, email me about that. I'd be more than happy to work with you. And as a person who has purchased one of my products, which this is, you are entitled to a discount. I call that the friendly discount, because it's like I already know you. You'll be much easier to work with. You're already used to me. You're used to my voice. It will save me a lot of effort in getting to know you, because it's almost like we're already friends. So let me know if I can help you or anyone else. I'm here for you. So on that note, I'm turning you loose. You've got your introduction to hypnosis. You've got your powerful hypnosis session. Hopefully you've got an entire tape. You've got the tools, which you can use to make more tapes and have various kinds of sessions. And if you're starting in business, I wish you the best. I wish you all the luck in the world. I wish you all the prosperity in the world. The world of hypnotherapy is wide open. There's plenty of room for more people to come on board, because more and more people are finding out about this very powerful and direct tool. It goes directly to your subconscious mind. The most easy way to make change is to work directly with the subconscious mind. So luckily the word's getting out there, and with my efforts and your efforts, we can really change things and get it out there and get it more into the public eye and have it more widely accepted and really get to what we want to do, which is to help people and to have them have those changes in their lives that they so strongly desire with this wonderful tool we call hypnosis. So I wish you peace, prosperity, and all things good. Goodbye for now.